Welcome everyone to our worship service. This is an afternoon Vespers program and will be followed by prayers, the YouTube live stream, and will be posted later for any of you who are missing this afternoon so you can watch later. And if you haven't subscribed yet to our YouTube channel, please don't forget to do so. Share these messages on your Facebook. Share these blessings, I would rather say, and ask your friends to do the same and help us to get these messages to the world that is in darkness. And by the way, we are posting regularly the archived messages by Bill Liversidge. We will make them public. You don't want to miss on it. Subscribe, read the blessing, share with others, and right now I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we open the session with prayer. Our gracious loving Father, once again, we want to thank you for this precious hour together, the Sabbath day, the rest that we have in Christ in his creative and redemptive work for human race. I pray, Father, that your word will be heard in a very special way today, that the righteousness of Jesus will be realized in our lives. Give us a listening ear, give us understanding and the mind of Jesus, Lord, and give us the joy of Jesus as we discovered something from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the title of today's message is The Just Shall Live by Faith. We have covered the first part of the Just Shall Live by Faith message a couple of weeks ago. You could still retrace this on our YouTube channel and watch the first part if you'd like, but nevertheless, first doesn't depend on the second, and second doesn't depend on the first one. Each one has something very delicious spiritually. So, open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Romans. The Gospel of Romans, the letter of Paul to Romans, chapter 1, and we will read verses 16 and 17. Let's hear it. For I am not ashamed of the Gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the righteous man shall live by faith. So, here we have it. The summary of these two verses is, the gospel is the revelation of the power of God to work and to manifest righteousness in us, in our lives. Oh, please hear it again. This is a profound thing. The gospel is the righteous. The gospel is the revelation of the power of God to work and to manifest the righteousness in us. Wow. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We must experience that power in our lives. And that power of God is not hidden from us. It is shown and it is evident in his creating and upholding power that upholds the earth and the whole universe. So, therefore, the gospel is that creative power of God exercised for saving us from sin. That's the same power. We can say that the gospel is God's remedy from sin. And it is this statement that is very important. Its work, the work of the gospel, is to bring man into harmony with the law, to cause the workings of the righteous law to be manifested in our hearts. I think this statement needs to be repeated. The work of the gospel is to bring man into harmony with the law, to cause the workings of the righteous law to manifest itself in our lives. So, that working is the work of faith, because we've read the righteous man, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and the righteous shall live by faith. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." To what it refers, that not of yourself. It refers to salvation and faith. This is the grace of God. So God gave us salvation, and he gave us also the faith to take hold of salvation. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says. God gave us salvation, and he gave us faith to get hold of salvation. So the just shall live by faith. But there are too many Christians who live life in their own strength, and there is no evidence in their lives of the power that is greater than their own. And they know nothing of the joy of living for God and walking with him by faith. I hear from many Christians as they say how difficult it is to be Christian, how hard it is to do the right thing. So their Christian life is not satisfying them. They always fail to live up to the standard, and they are tempted to give up because they are discouraged. And you know what? I have been there myself. I know what it is. I can sympathize with these people. Of course, people will be discouraged when they have a continual failure. There was a time for me I thought maybe I should just quit the Christianity. Sometimes people say, "I almost lost confidence in myself." And that word is there, almost. Hearing it. Almost. It says to me that they still have some confidence in themselves. If they would only lose confidence in themselves totally and would put their all trust in the one who is mighty to save, they would be telling a different story. They would have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to Philippians in chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. And you know where he was writing that letter from? He was writing that letter from the dungeon. And that dungeon was the hole in the ground. So the person who does not rejoice in God, even though being tempted and afflicted, is not fighting the good fight of faith. That person is fighting the poor fight of self-confidence and defeat. All the promises of final happiness are given to the overcomers, to those who overcome. Now open your Bibles with me to the Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation 3:21. It says, "He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." And now open also Revelation 21, verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. See what it says. "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Overcomer is the one who gains victory, correct? To inherit is not overcoming. Inheriting is the reward of overcoming. That's what this verse says. Inheriting is the result of overcoming. And the victories we are to gain are victories over self and self-indulgences. the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You see, when a soldier, seeing his enemy in the battle, gives way, he is rejoicing, and that rejoicing cannot be controlled. It is natural and spontaneous, correct? The soldiers of Alexander the Great never knew defeat under his command. And they were impatient to be led into another battle. Each victory was increasing their strength and courage. And each of their victory was diminishing the strength and courage of their enemies. The question then is, how we may gain a continual victories in our spiritual warfare? How? Well, open your Bibles to the Gospel of John now, chapter 5. I mean, the first epistle of John, chapter 5, and verse 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. You probably all know this by memory. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. You know why it says our faith? Just struck me. It says our faith because it was given to us as a gift. It's not your personal faith. It is a gift of God, you remember? Interesting. And Jesus Christ commissions his spirit, actually, to empower those who experience the faith. So once again, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is the faith of Jesus. So Galatians chapter 2, two more verses. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. In or of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said something. Matthew 28:18, we read, Jesus came up, actually, and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. There's the secret. Here's the secret of the strength. In these three verses, you could find the secret of the strength. It is Christ, the Son of God, to whom all power is given in heaven and on earth, who does the work. And he is with us. Wow. If Christ lives in the heart to do the work, then continual victories may be gained. And instead of being discouraged, people will be rejoicing and boasting in the Lord. Now, why the soldiers of Alexander the Great were reckoned as invincible? Why? Was it because they had a supernatural strength? No. It was because they were led by Alexander the Great. Their strength was in his leadership. They were strong because he was. They were inspired by the same spirit he had. Now, our captain, our commander and chief and leader is the Lord of hosts. He has met the chiefest foe of all and defeated him single-handed. And those who follow our captain, they will go forth conquering and to conquer. There is no other choice, no other option. those who follow the victorious captain, they will be victorious. If only we would put our trust in him completely, then by the repeated victories that will be gained, we will bring forth praises to Jesus. Take a look at 1 John 5:4 again. 1 John 5:4. See what it says. Take another look at this verse. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world through faith. Faith takes hold of the arm of God, and his mighty power does the work. Not our power. We are powerless, the Bible says. There is no strength in us. We cannot tell how God's power works in us and accomplishing that which we cannot do for ourselves. We cannot tell how God can give life to the dead, but he can. We cannot tell when the wind blows. We cannot tell where it's coming from, where it has been, and where it is going. The Holy Spirit works in man to subdue his passions and to make him victorious over pride, envy, and lust, and selfishness. And only the Spirit knows how it is done. But for us, it is sufficient to know that it is done. And it will be done in everyone who wants to work with Christ, who wants that this work will be done in him more than anything else. If this is his desire, it will be done. We need to trust God to perform that work. Let's remember the story of Peter again. Story of Peter. Jesus is walking on the water, and there's a storm. It's dark. And they were scared seeing somebody walking on the water. They were so scared they thought this is a ghost. And Jesus said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And once again, I want to bring this. Jesus, in the Bible, says 365 times, "Fear not, don't be afraid." Once for every day. You don't have to be afraid when Jesus is with you, when you are with Jesus. So, Jesus said, "It is I, fear not." And Peter, in response, said, "Lord, it is you, command me to come to you on the water." I mean, this is an unbelievable thing that Peter is asking the Lord. And Jesus said to him, "Come." He basically commanded him, "Come." We cannot tell how Peter was unable to walk on the water. Waves around him. But we know that at the command and the word of Jesus, he did it. And as long as Peter kept his eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus and believed the power in the power and the word of Jesus, the divine power enabled him to walk on water. It was a dramatic picture and a lesson for the rest of the disciples and for us today. Peter then, seeing the waves and maybe with the feeling of pride within himself in what he is doing as if by himself and doubting the power in the word that Jesus spoke to him, fear took possession of him, and he began to sink. And my friends, it's the same with us when we take off our eyes from Jesus and put it on somebody else, on ourselves, or ourselves. Or it is when we doubt the Word of God and the power in the Word of God, we begin to fear and sink into despair. That's the process. And faith. And the power in the Word of God enabled Peter to walk on the waves. Wow. But fear and unbelief made Peter to sink. My friends, the world today is in fear and sinking. The world needs to see someone fearless, someone living and walking by faith. That's what the world needs today. And Hebrews chapter 11. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Well, it tells me about the perseverance and the faith of the Israelites. They didn't just walk one time. It didn't happen anything. They give up. The walls of Jericho have fallen. This was by faith. And the perseverance also comes by faith. So, why this story is written in the Bible? I tell you why. And not only this story, but many, many more stories of encouragement. Take a look at Romans 15:4. Paul is telling why these are written. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Wow. So whatever was written earlier times was written for our instruction, for our perseverance, for our encouragement. So the victories in the Bible, which have been gained by faith in God, over visible enemies in the flesh, are placed there to show us what faith will accomplish in our conflict with the rulers of darkness of this world. That's why this was written for us. So, the grace of God in answer to faith is powerful in our conflicts as in those of old. But we are never to forget one thing, very important thing, that the power is not of us, but of God. It is the faith of Jesus in us that moves heaven on our behalf. The faith of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verses 3 and 5. We read this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Wow. The weapon of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're divine powers. Divinely powerful for the destruction of the fortresses of the enemies. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. We read, for our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that's why we need divine power, divine armor of God. So, and God had provided all this for us. So here what also faith of the believers of old had accomplished. Again, back to Hebrews chapter 11 as we will be concluding. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 33 and 34. Verse 33 we read in Hebrews 11. who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Wow. Put foreign armies to flight. And it also says something here, as you heard, out of weakness they were made strong. Out of weakness. Let me ask you this. Are you weak today? If you are, there is a hope for you. There is a hope for you. Their very weakness became their strength through faith, because the strength of Christ is made perfect in weakness. That's why. If people would say that I totally lost confidence in myself, not just say almost, but totally, that's when the power of Christ will be revealed in us. So Romans chapter 8, the last two passages of encouragement for each one of us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or perseverance or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. We overwhelmingly conquer. That means there's a victory after victory. Overwhelmingly conquer through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory, my friends, is gained when we surrender to Christ. Victory is in Jesus. God did not lay on us the battle with Satan. That battle was already fought and won by Jesus Christ. He conquered Satan. And our victory is by surrendering to Christ completely and allowing Him to live in us, repeating His experience in us and through us. So, and that's why this very book, I will never get tired to repeat how important it is for every Adventist to read this book. It is a life-changing book. There was a time in my life that I pretty much was giving up on faith. When my wife and I, we visited a seminar, Victory in Jesus, in Bakersfield, California, by Bill Liversidge. And it had a dramatic change in my life. Not only I stayed in the church, it gave me a spark in my heart. I began to hear the gospel, actually. And that spark actually prompted me to end up in ministry. So I recommend to every Adventist home, young people, old people, mature people, you need to read this book, Victory in Jesus. It is available on our website, Creative Media Ministries, www.creativemediaministries.org, and not only Adventists. This actually is read by Christians from different denominations, and they are embracing this message. They are so grateful that this book was written. So anyway, you could obtain this book on our website, and please don't forget to subscribe to our channel. On the channel, you will find much blessings to the messages that are presented by Bill Liversidge and humble servant of yours. And enjoy them. Feel free to share these messages on your Facebook and ask others to do the same. Let this wave of the gospel overtake the world. May the light of the gospel, may by its light the whole world that is in darkness be illuminated so Jesus can come soon. Do your simple work by sharing these messages with others. Invite others to do the same. Subscribe to our channel. Post on our Facebook. Any means of promotion you could give or advertising or just spreading the news, please do so. We have no monopoly on the gospel. God bless you as you do so. Let us have a quick word of prayer. Loving Father, we want to thank you and praise you once again for this time together. And as we concluding this message, I pray, Lord, that your blessing will rest upon everyone who was listening to this message. Maybe first time was not enough to comprehend this precious message of the righteousness of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will enlighten us and give us the understanding heart to embrace the fact that we are not saved by our own works or by our own righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus and the faith of Jesus in us that will accomplish what God has designed in our lives. Bless us all as we continue to spend time in prayer together. And may your sweet presence of the Holy Spirit abide with us and also with those who will be watching and listening to messages on this channel. God bless them all. In Jesus' name, amen.